If you have missed the first lesson and if you are interested, you can visit our website, DLBC website, and go through the slides that would give us the introduction to the parabolic teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Lord teach in parables? What is the meaning of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? And the number of parables and how we should interpret parables, all those introductory matters were discussed last week. Today we are going to look at the parable of the parables, the most important parable, according to my understanding. That is the parable of the sower, or correctly, the parable of the soils. Different response to God's word in this age when the king is away in the mystery form of the kingdom. How people respond to the message of the kingdom. Even though it is generally called the parable of the sower, the emphasis is on the soils, not on the sower. Now, why did I say this is the most important parable? That is not a vain claim. I need to defend that claim. This is the first parable the Lord Jesus Christ said. In Matthew 13, in the parabolic teaching, seven parables of the kingdom, this is the number one parable in his parabolic teaching. The second reason, I'm not making a vain claim, I'm defending my position. That is the second reason why this is the most important parable. It is because this parable is repeated by all the three synoptic writers, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. The three evangelists, you know, the three of them, they mentioned this parable. They record the parable as uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one more reason. The Lord himself took the time to give a detailed interpretation of the parable so that we may not mess it up. He wanted us to know exactly what he meant by this. Every parable is not interpreted in detail. But this parable is crucial because this is about the present Christendom, churchianity, the cultural Christianity, where the wheat and the weeds come together in the kingdom. They grow together. It's very difficult to distinguish. But those who really understand this parable, the Lord said, we can distinguish. But that is going to be the form of the nature of this kingdom when the Son of Man is away. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is not an earthly visible kingdom. The visible earthly kingdom will be established in the second coming, in the glorious appearance of the Son of Man. But during this time, the kingdom comes in a spiritual way, slowly and secretly, in a spiritual way, and invades the hearts of people who would embrace the king by faith. So, this truth, the unbelievers won't understand. So the purpose of the parable was to conceal the truth from the unbelievers and to reveal the truth to the believers. So we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we are transferred into the kingdom of his dear son in a spiritual sense. And that spiritual kingdom, the church is a part of that spiritual kingdom. And we are in that kingdom. That kingdom, it does not make any thunder and lightning. There is no military. There is no political system in it. There is no army. There is no king. There is no throne. But the king is there in our heart. The kingdom in its mystery form. Invisible to the world. But visible to the and experiential to the believing remnant. So that is the major teaching of the parables of the kingdom. So this parable of the soils, popularly known as parable of the sower, is mentioned is recorded in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We will turn to Luke's Gospel because it is that account I, enjoyed most. That is the only reason. But it will be, so we will turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 8. But you can also keep a bookmark in Matthew 13 and also Mark 4. And we will make some comparison about the words and the emphasis and the vocabulary used by the evangelists to highlight the meaning of this parable. So, would somebody read for me Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Luke 8, beginning in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And in the following verses, the Lord himself explained this parable. He wanted us to get the meaning correctly, the gist of it, because this is a very important parable in the kingdom program of God in its mystery form. Now, we are all familiar with this parable. It's very easy to understand. Its parable is like a story, so the four different soils where the seed fell. The first one, as we know, is the footpath, wayside soil. The second one is the rocky, stony soil, stony place. And the third one, it is some seeds fell among the thorns. And the fourth one, the good soil. And the seeds that fell on the good soil is the only seeds that became productive and fruitful. So that is the parable. So it's a familiar scene in Galilee, a farmer scattering grain seeds across the field. And people can very well relate to this. Variety of soils, that is the emphasis. That is the varied response of the people today to the message of the kingdom. The response of the people will not be uniform. Anywhere this message is proclaimed. Now, speaking in general terms, anywhere the word of God is proclaimed. But we can narrow it down to the gospel. Anywhere the gospel is proclaimed, the response will not be uniform. Now, as I was studying this parable, I have studied it before, but as I was restudying and meditating it, I thought it is a required course, a mandatory course for every believer. Because if we want to witness, if we want to evangelize, if we want to win others to Jesus Christ, if we want to spread the gospel, it is applicable to Sunday school teachers, youth workers, elders, pastors, evangelists, and even to parents when they share the gospel to the children. Because all the spiritual dynamics of what happens when the word is sown is brought out clearly by the Lord. He himself told us how that, the seed of the word, how it works. So, the varied response to the word of God. So, in verse 4, we read, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. In another parable, we read that the sower is the Son of Man. But here, there is no further explanation of the sower. It can be anyone. It can be me, it can be you, it can be any one of us sowing the seed. So for understanding this parable, who is the sower is not at all a very important question, even though the sower is, you know, in the historical context of the parable, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that is the Son of Man. And as he went out to sow and saw the seeds, some fell on the wayside. That means immediate rejection of the gospel. We'll come to that. You know, wayside. The seeds were immediately plucked away by the birds. Immediate rejection of the gospel. Immediate. It's gone. It's planted, seeds came, took away. Okay. The second one is a kind of a stony soil or rocky. That means patches of soil covering a large slab of limestone in Palestine. On the outside, you can find the soil, but it's only a very, very sketchy, very light patch of soil. But beneath this, it's a kind of a rocky limestone. So, the seed fell there, but it did not take root. It believed for a, you know, this person believed for a time in the face of trials and opposition. He rejected the word. So we can say this man said yes and no. The first one, immediate rejection. The second one, first he said yes. Then after a while, he said no. The third one, among thorns. That is, because of all the cares and worries and temptations of life, all these things choked the word. So it did not become fruitful. I will call this man, yes, but. Yes, but. It's a big but. Because all the cares and worries of this life choking the word. And the fourth soil, yes, I will receive, I will accept. Now, and it became fruitful. Now we will go to the interpretation. That is basically the story. Then we will see how did the Lord interpret it. Come with me to the same chapter, Luke 8. And verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So, here is a course on evangelism by the master evangelist. This course you will not get anywhere else. I had many evangelism courses, you know, I have studied. But this is unique. So, the Lord said, you know, this the Lord's course on evangelism, it is so unique. And it is a mandatory course for us. It must be a required course. So, sower is not important. And the importance is on the soils. The seed is the word of God. So, what shall we sow? We have to sow the word of God. Now, if you look at Mark 4:14, could somebody read Mark 4:14? How Mark emphasizes the importance of the word. Mark 4:14.
The sower sows the word.
The sower sows the word. Okay. In Matthew 13:19, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So for Matthew, it is the word of the kingdom. Underline, logos, the word. Mark, the sower sows the word. In Luke, the seed is the word. So, if we want to preach the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be the word of God. It must be the word of God. Our methods may change. We may use, you know, evantel, four laws, five laws, seven laws, or we may use the Roman road. There are various methods people use. People may use skit and music and apologetics and stories and testimonies. The methods may vary, but the message is the same. And the message should be the message of the gospel, the word. That is the most important thing. So, you listen to the messages which you hear every day in radio, in television, mega churches, what is going on in Christendom. We don't have to judge anyone. We have to discern things on the basis of what the Lord said. And it is clear here that is the seed is the word. The seed is the word. So we should not have any kind of support or sympathy for anyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ sowing something else. Good night, sweet friend. We cannot partner with you in any way. Why? The seed is the word. The word of the kingdom. So that is the most important thing. Our methods may change when we speak to children, when we speak to youth, when we speak to a group of highly educated people. Methods may change, but the seed is the word. Don't try to replace the seed with anything else. That will not be an evangelism blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The packaging may vary, but the message is the same. So that is number one. And the Lord himself made it clear, the seed is the word. We need to make that, you know, we need to make that abundantly clear, and we should be committed to that. There should not be any compromise. Whether it is in youth group, whether it is in Sunday school, whether it is in evangelism, the seed is the word. Where that word is given prominence, there will be blessing. And where the word is rejected, there will not be any blessing. Seed is the word. Not my word, not my evangelism course, not the evangelism course of Dallas Theological Seminary. This is the evangelism course of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, the seed is the word. Number two. When we sow the seed, it will fall into all sorts of soil. We cannot be selective, and we don't have to be selective. You know, the farmer, he did not choose where is the good soil with a lot of water, lot of good productive soil. If I plant some, it will definitely germinate and it will become very fruitful. Let me find that soil. That kind of evangelistic survey that goes on today is completely contradicted by this parable. The evangelistic survey, the church growth survey, many kind of courses that are going on as seminars in the evangelical world, it is nonsense, because the lesson comes from here. You don't have to selectively search for fruitful patch of soil. Your responsibility, whether atheists, whether intellectual giants, whether children, whether old or whether young, according to the best of your ability, with discretion and prudence, sow the seed. Communicate it in whichever way the Lord enables you. You don't have to be selective about the soil. Keep on sowing. Keep on sharing. Keep on broadcasting. Keep on proclaiming. The difference in result was not in the seed, but in the soil. So our responsibility is not to worry about the soil. Our responsibility is Wherever the Lord sends us, wherever the Lord gives us opportunity, collectively, personally, at home, Sunday school, youth group, you know, to our neighbors, friends, people at our workplace, the opportunities may be very limited, but when the Lord opens a way for you, you know, don't think about how they are going to respond. How will they understand? No, the seed is the word. You just sow the seed. It is into all sorts of soil. Number three, this one is really important. All these truths are important, but the next one is, you know, probably the most important one, I would say. When we are involved in the work of the Lord in any way, in this context, like sowing the seed, evangelism, remember, it is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual warfare because Luke chapter 8, verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the seed. George and Molly are going to India for ministry. You know who is going with them? The Lord, not only the Lord, according to this parable, the devil. You know? It's a very scary thought. I tell this to my wife every time when I go. According to this parable, the devil comes with you. It's a spiritual warfare. The Lord is there, the Lord's power, the Lord's angels, the Lord's protection, the Lord's word. But the Lord told us something the world will not tell us. Or evangelism courses will not tell us. It is a spiritual warfare. Okay? The devil comes and takes away the word. That means when you went to sow the seed, the devil also accompanied you and wanted to know where you are going to sow the seed. And when you sow the seed, he wanted to take away there, then and there. That means 24/7, his active presence is with you in your mission field, in your ministry. It doesn't have to be Africa or India or Korea. Some of us go and do it. It can be right here. It can be in our Sunday school room. It can be in our youth meeting. It can be in our bedroom, in our living room, when we pray with our children and share the word. The devil is there to take away the word from the hearts of our children, from the hearts of our little ones. That's a reality. That is the truth. And the Lord said it is true. The devil comes and takes away, you know. Now, Matthew and Mark, you know what Mark said? Mark 4:15, Satan comes immediately and takes away. He added the adverb. Mark 4:15, Satan comes immediately. That adverbial phrase is a very favorite word in Mark's vocabulary. Mark's gospel is the gospel of action, immediately. Short gospel, in that short gospel, the Son of Man is serving and working immediately, one after the other. So many things happen. So that's a favorite word for him, immediately. So when the sower sow the seed, the Satan, he uses the word Satan, comes immediately and takes away. The Greek word is airo, that means he lifts away the word. Not simply taking away, he purposely, you know, he lifts it away. He lifts away the word. Like the birds come and take it away, lift it away. He wants to take it away. But I want you to come with me to Matthew's gospel. Could you please turn there with me? Matthew 13. Parallel passage, Matthew 13, verse 19. Could somebody read Matthew 13:19 for me?
When anyone hears
Look at, you know, thank you. Look at how Matthew described it. How Matthew reported the word of the Lord. The wicked one. So devil, Satan, Matthew, wicked one. He is not simply taking away. He is not lifting away. He comes and snatches away the word. You know, that is the word harpazo, the Greek verb, which is used for the rapture. We all shall be caught up. That is the word. That means force and violence and plundering and robbing and taking by force. So when the Lord comes, those who are alive, they will be transformed, and those who are dead in Christ will be resurrected, and these two groups together will be caught up, will be taken, you know, above and beyond the pull of the gravitational power, and also defeating all the powers of the darkness that is working in the air. That is the word. What did the Lord say? Satan comes and snatches away, the same word. That means Satan will try to take away the word sown in prison, in colleges, anywhere. It's actually a scary thought, but it's very realistic. You know, the Lord wanted us to get the real picture, that the Lord wants us to know that our mission trips, our ministry, it's no fun. It is a spiritual warfare. We are struggling. We are fighting against the forces of darkness. And that is why prayer is important. That's why vigilance is important. That's why that ministry is so important and crucial. Because it is a fight against the forces of darkness. Satan comes and snatches away. So harpazo denotes force and violence, to robbing and plunder. Satan is very active. He comes with you to all mission fields to take away the word. Like the birds pick the seed, or like a bandit or a robber robs with violent force before it has time to sprout. Now, in Luke 8:12, there is another very important truth the Lord wants us to know. Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Why does he do that? Lest they should believe and be saved. They should not believe. And they should not believe and be saved. Satan wants to hinder that process. The word should not go into their heart, and they should not believe and be saved. Now, if you read, see, this parable has to be studied by like parallel column, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, in Matthew 13:19, the Lord said that Satan comes and snatches it away so that they may not understand it. They may not understand the truth of the gospel. Does not understand, does not grasp. The word, the literal word understand, means they may not be able to put it together. You know, you refer to W.E. Wine or A.T. Robertson or anyone. Look at that Greek verb and its original meaning. Perception, perceiving. You know, the literal meaning, metaphorically perceiving and comprehending. But literally, it means tsunami, means put it together. The hearer may not be able to put the truths of God's word together so that it may make sense. Satan will hinder that. He will not be able to put it together. So, theory of evolution, in the name of science, rationalism, look at all the Christian pastors. Look at all the Christians. You know, how can we believe this gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at all these pastors. Look at all these Christians. Look at all the divorce among Christians. Look at all the immorality among Christians. Look at all these churches and what they are doing.
They are robbing people, plundering money out of people. You know, how can you say that the earth is only 6,000 years old? How can you prove that the Bible is the word of God? You know, Satan comes. That is why they are not able to put it together. That's what the Lord said. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, he loved. I am a sinner. How can he love me? They are not able to put it together. They are not able to comprehend. They are not able to perceive. Ooh, what an amazing truth. The Lord said, these are the things that happen in that great battle for souls. You know, they are not able to put it together. We know when some of us heard the gospel, even though many of us were born and brought up in fine Christian families, we delayed and we said no, because we were not able to put it together. It does not make any sense. So the Lord said they will not understand. Media, culture, all deceives people, confuses people. You know, that is why the Lord said in the footpath, people tremble it. Footpath is not the place for seed. It is the place for walking. People tremble on it. So immediately it is taken away. So there are things to comprehend in the gospel. So when we share the gospel, sometimes when I go to places, people say, you know, oh, Alex, I'm a simple evangelist. I'm not a Bible teacher like you. I do not know much. This verse tells us that we ourselves need to comprehend the gospel truth. We all need to be, you know, good students of the word. I'm not saying that we all need to be scholars to preach the word. But there are things to comprehend and to understand in the truth of the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts. We only communicate. When we communicate, wherever there is reasonable comprehension and understanding is needed, we should be able to explain that. Or if I'm not able, I should seek the help of somebody who will be able to explain it well. Comprehension, putting it together, understanding. But it is God in his sovereign will, plan, and purpose. He is the one who overrules all situations and limitations, and the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of sin. Before we close, look at verse 12, Luke 8:12. We will continue with this, a very important parable, so we'll continue it next week also. Luke 8:12. The second part, the word out of their hearts. Okay? Look at verse 15, Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and a good heart. Heart is the center of our being, decisions, affections. So the word should not simply reach the mind. Apologetics can prepare the mind, can convince the mind, can open the mind. But the gospel has to penetrate the heart. So Luke emphasized the importance of the heart. In Romans we read, you know, that in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believes in your heart, with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. The hearts of the people. So, our arguments and apologetics and various rational arguments in relation to faith, like our dear brother Revi Zacharias, all, you know, they all do a commendable service in that area. It can prepare the mind. It can open their mind. It can probably convince certain aspects of the mind. But even if the mind is illuminated, the person may not receive the gospel unless the gospel touches his heart. That is why in Luke's version, you know, receiving with a good heart. And Satan tries to take the word out of their hearts, not of the mind. Remember that. You know, Satan does not take the word not out of their mind. It is out of their heart. So, in evangelism, aim for the heart. In evangelism, aim for the heart, not only the mind. Wherever we need to explain things to the mind, we need to. But the struggle is in relation to the heart. And the Lord said, relatively, few of those who hear the gospel will genuinely be saved. In this parable, it is only one out of four. That's not the statistics on evangelism. But the Lord said, majority of the people who listen to the gospel in this mystery form of the kingdom age will reject it. So a triumphalist, successionist mentality concerning mission should not dominate our thinking. Statistics, you know, a triumphalism, wherever we go, thousands of people, it's good to see that. But the Lord said, probably that will not happen. If the Lord gives that kind of a harvest, praise the Lord, he can do that. But the Lord said, generally speaking, that will not happen. Majority of the people who listen to the word of God, they will reject it. Narrow is the door and difficult is the way. But wide is the door that goes to destruction. So these are the practical, relevant truths that we should bear in mind as we share the gospel, as we share the word with others. And we should not be discouraged because the Lord said, this is the truth. He is the Lord of the harvest. And he is the one who has sent you and who has sent me. So the supreme authority, control belongs to him. And when we listen to him and obey his great commission, his word, he knows how to bless, how to guard, how to protect, and how to reward the faithful servers. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for this amazing parable in which our Lord Jesus Christ explained the spiritual dynamics that work when the gospel is preached. What an eye-opener. What tremendous truths, and pray that these truths may really encourage us. We know that there are certain scary thoughts in it, but at the same time, we pray that thy power and thine authority and thy sovereign grace and will may overrule all situations in our life as we continue to serve you and give us victory in your name. We thank you for the various ministries in which each one of us is involved in, even at home, even in Sunday school, even in the proclamation and ministry of the word, even in evangelism, mission fields. We pray that these truths may be encouraging, motivating, and inspiring to us as we continue to serve you. Send us now with your blessing, and until we meet again, let thy peace and victory and joy be our portion as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father.